I would like to say at the outset, or at the very beginning, that a spiritual life is a lot about the inner cultivation, the inner person. Once there was a famous spiritual master, and he asked the people, is this seat empty or is it full? Let me ask you the same question. What do you think? Is this Vyasa-san empty or is it full? Full? Is there anyone who thinks it is empty? I know, it's a difficult question. So when that spiritual master asked his disciples, is the seat full, he was sitting on a seat, or is it empty? They all said, Guru Maharaj, it's full, you're sitting there. Then he answered, it's not so simple. If my heart is empty, then the seat is also empty. If my heart is full, then the seat is also full. So this is the idea of spiritual life, that what you have inside your heart is much more important and deciding than what you have outside. And we all know, sometimes you find people who have a lot outside to show. Houses, they may have a few well-bred racing horses, big cars and so on, but their life is really empty. And you can also find people who are in poor situations, who have nothing really to show, and their life is very full. So today I want to address this point of the inner life of a devotee, and it's my hope that by speaking about this you will all be very full. You will be inside very fulfilled and live a very happy life. I will also try to tell a very nice pastime of Radha and Krishna at the end. Good, so but first let us sing. And then we will, everything else will come. See? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama, Rama, Hare, Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare.
Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vasudevaya. Hare Krishna. We were already hearing about three qualities of a devotee. I'm sorry, forgot. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Saminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Prajarine Nivishesha Shunyavari Paskatya De Satarine Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vashadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna. We were already hearing about two qualities that should make up the inner constitution of a devotee. Who of you remembers these two qualities? They are, of course, from the nectar of instruction. Yes, someone said enthusiasm, utsahan. And the second quality we heard about, nishchaya, means confidence and perseverance, no? Conviction and perseverance. Yes, very good. So we gave reasons and shed a little light on each one. Now we will hear about dharya or patience. We are quoting from the third verse where it is said, bhakti is perfected by these six. Namely, enthusiasm, determination and perseverance, patience, execution of favorable acts to bhakti, giving up unfavorable association and following the conduct of sadhus. Now, patience. Dharya or patience has two aspects. To remain patient and keep on persevering or endeavoring, you know, to remain patient and keep on persevering even if there should be a delay in the desired result. And the second is to not become agitated when we see, well, it doesn't go as fast as I thought. Radharaman Goswami, who's a famous commentator, says, Dharya means to not become slack in executing one's required limbs of bhakti, even if there is a delay in attaining the desired goal. We must know that there is really no point in forcing bhakti. For instance, you cannot say, let me double my number of rounds, or let me get up 1 hour and 23 minutes before. And this now, I'm sure, will bring bhakti. Bhakti is given by, ultimately, by Krishna, and he gives it through Srimati Radharani. It is said that Radha, the goddess of devotion, is, when she blesses someone, from her personality, an expansion comes. And that's Bhakti Devi. And she, so to say, we see Radha in the German temple, Abenteuer, Goloka Dham. She has, one moment, she has this hand is in this gesture. It means blessings. I bless you. So as she gives blessings, a divine persona comes from her. That's Bhakti Devi. And when she enters someone, Bhakti Devi. That person is blessed with Bhakti Shakti, an energy of devotion that is so attractive to Krishna that he cannot keep himself hidden. Now, this Bhakti develops naturally, or develops, let us say, as a gift. You yourself need to just be patient until it is given. The example which is given is that fruits and flowers naturally spring up at a proper destined time, even without external impetus. Similar is the case with Dharma. It bears its desired fruits only at a specific destined time. No? We have a little ashram at a lake, we know very well that we do every day a little walk, maybe 45 minutes, and after the winter, we already know that soon spring will come. And then, sure enough, spring is coming, and it's very interesting. First, the little trees and bushes, which are called in German Schlebaumbusche. It's a specific plant. I don't know what's the English name for it. It springs into blossom. The whole, it's a whole in the forest, a whole site, or line of Schlebaumbäume, who are all jumping and springing up in flowers. And it happens overnight. But there's nothing in the world that can force this phenomena to happen. It just happens on its own time. Sometimes we may make our walk and think, well, it's now springtime, where's the Schlebaum blossoms? And we may even complain, hey, why are you dreaming? We want to see your blossoms, but it doesn't happen like this. When it happens, when the specific destined time comes, it will do it automatically and overnight. So this is the reason, there is no point in becoming impatient. You have to patiently wait. In the same way, bhakti, which is part of Sanatana Dharma, will happen in its own time when Krishna feels it's time to bless you. And you can't bribe Krishna by becoming a Sankhyavadi, that is a person who believes in increasing his numbers of sadhanas. Krishna will give it when he feels this is now the proper time to give bhakti. There's a verse in the Katha Upanishad where this is made very clear. It is quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita, and it goes like this. Nayam atma pravachane na labhyo na medayana bahuna shutena yame vaishna no vame vaisha vinotete na labhyas tasyaisha atmu ma vivinotete tanum swam. I had better days of my Sanskrit pronunciation. But the English is very clear. The Supreme Lord is not attainable. Listen, the Supreme Lord is not attainable by the study of the Vedas, nor by one's intelligence. The Supreme Lord can also not be attained by hearing many lectures from various authorities. So you might ask them, then tell me, how is he attained? And the answer the Katha Upanishad gives is, the Supreme Lord is only attained by one whom he personally selects. To such a person, he manifests his own form. So Krishna comes by his own sweet will. And therefore, you need to remain patient and keep on performing the various parts of the bhakti sadhana. I always say that when we were children, our mothers in Germany told us, when you stand in the rain while it is simultaneously the sun is out, then you will grow very fast. I don't know if this is called sun rain in German language, Sonnenregen. Perhaps you have such a word in Serbian also. We as children, of course, wanted to quickly grow up to be in the movies and participate in the life of the grown-up people. But we were told you have to be patient. The sun rain comes on its own accord. Now the second meaning, and I will talk in more detail about this because this is not so known, of Daya is to not become agitated and nervous, but keep on perseverance. In the Ujjval Nilamoni, it is said, Daya is defined as the ability in one's consciousness to remain undisturbed even when there is agitation. You know, this patience or perseverance. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes in one comment, to remain undisturbed even though there may be reason for disturbance is known as dharya, perseverance and patience. We will hear about this a little bit later. But maybe we could talk about this now. Once Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur was asked if there is one single verse in the Bhagavatam which, when you follow it, you will for sure get Krishna consciousness. He said, yes, there is one such verse. Would you like to know that verse?
Yes.
Tatenukampam susumikshamanam bunjana evatmakritam vipakam ritvak vidvak vatpubhya vidadang namaste sajivitas bhakti sadaya bhakti. Anyways, I had my better days. They will come back again, hopefully. It means that one should patiently continue his devotional service, even if one sees in his life or gets in his life his past karmic reaction. You know, when there's misery coming up, one should know, oh, this toothache is a part of my karmic drama, you know, my karma drama, it has to come. But while this is going on, one patiently suffers these reactions, one should be very active in devotional life. One should offer obeisances with body, mind, and speech. And someone who does this, who just is not discouraged when the sufferings of material existence, but keeps on patiently going, he will get the bhakti from the Lord and liberation of material existence as sure as someone gets the inheritance of his parents if he simply remains alive. No? Is it clear, the example? No. When misery comes, keep on doing your bhakti, and Krishna is so satisfied with this a perseverance and this not becoming agitated and discouraged, that he is very merciful. There is a wonderful reason also to not act when there is disturbance in your life. It is like this: when you are disturbed and then you act upon the disturbance, you will only get more disturbance. And Prabhupada gives an example. He says, something has dropped in the water of a river. You cannot see the thing now that has dropped within the water and is agitating the water. Now just stay still for some time. As soon as the water is settling up, you will see the things as they are. So he now concludes, as soon as your enthusiasm is agitated, it is better to sit down in any temple suitable and chant Hare Krishna. So when you are unenthusiastic and disturbed, don't act at that moment. You will only agitate the situation further. And then he says, there is no question of being disappointed. After all, we commit so many mistakes. That is human nature. To err is human. That is not a fault. So when you make mistakes on the path of bhakti, and you again, as the Americans would say it, and blow it, you know, you would... then, my dear devotees, no, this is human nature. It is natural. And wait before you do anything. Prabhupada says, try to rectify it only with a cool head. He said this in Calcutta. It is on my writing table because I like to read it again and again. The normal response for a conditioned soul when things don't go according to the plan is to lament and to become discouraged. No? But to not lament, it's called Shokyat Vasa Vartita by Rupa Goswami. This is spiritual activity. It's one of the 64 limbs of bhakti. The Padma Purana says, how is it possible for Krishna to appear in the heart of a person who's overpowered by lamentation, by anger, by illusion, or other difficult emotions? You know, how is it possible? Where is this lecture going to? It is going to a very, very beautiful place. It is learn to look at life from a spiritual perspective and know that the miseries of material existence are unavoidable. Don't become discouraged when they happen. Don't become discouraged even when the miseries of material life happen in your own Hare Krishna Hare Rama movement. No? Don't become disturbed. It has to come. After all, this is human nature. They are human beings. There's a great acharya who has written very insightful comments of the Bhagavatam. It's Vallabhacharya. I would like to quote him here. To have the capability of tolerating the threefold miseries till the last moments of one's life is known as dharya. Everyone who has attained a material body should learn to tolerate the miseries while remembering the following three examples. And the first example is the queen who sold buttermilk, the second Yadabharat, and the third the gopis. Because you know about Yadabharat and the gopis, and most probably you like to hear what's the queen who sold buttermilk. I will only tell you one example. There was once a very, very beautiful aristocratic lady who, when she was not married, had a relationship with a with a paramour. Paramour, that's like a secret lover. No? And she was married in due course of time to a king, and all of a sudden she was a queen. However, she could not forget her first lover. I heard that this is the nature of the female personality, that the first lover remains always somewhere in the heart, because it's the first lover who introduced the lady to the world of romance. So this paramour was unfortunately a rascal. He said to the queen, to the aristocratic lady, "Okay, marry the king, get some property, and then poison him." So the lady was somehow so much influenced, or gullible, I think it is the English word, that she did like this. She married the king, and a few days after the marriage was consumed, she gave him deadly poison, and the king died. She met her paramour and said, "I've done it. What is next?" And he said, "Let's run, and later you come back. Let's run. Flee, because now it's a little dangerous." So they ran away, but on the way, this paramour was bitten by a deadly cobra and died himself. You call this instant karma. So the aristocratic lady, who was now a queen, had committed a terrible crime, and she was on flight, you call it, on running away, escaping. Everyone had seen her, but there were no, it was no internet, so her picture was not so much, I mean, everyone in the main town had seen her. So she avoided the main town and went to a small town, and there she fell into, she had no means of income. She fell into bad company, and she became, in order to just survive and eat, a lady of the night. Do you know what this is? Yeah, prostitute. Yes. So once she received a customer, and the customer looked strangely familiar to her. But the customer was very enthusiastic. There was no time to discuss anything. And after they had enjoyed, I don't know if it was enjoyment for the queen, she asked, who are you? And the customer said, I'm a relative of the king who has been poisoned. My God. Now I was together in an intimate way with a relative of my husband. Is it possible to sink even more low? So this queen was now ready to do the final act of desperation, a suicide. How do we say suicide? Samo obistu. Yes, something, you know, suicide. And she went to the graveyard, or no, not graveyard, funeral place, and took some wood which was still there, you know, which had not been used or which had been extinguished. She made a pile. She put the fire on the pile and was ready to take her own life. But then she felt she lacked courage to do so. She said, I can't do it. And she became, she went to find a decent job, not a lady of the night job. She would not go back for anything in the world to this profession. And she joined some cowherd ladies and sold the items from the cow. Buttermilk, ghee, yogurt, all kinds of milk products. And that's how she maintained her life. Now once she went with a cowherd lady to another town to sell the milk product when they were attacked and conquered by dacoits, you know, people who robbers. And they were all, you know, they were beaten. Some of them were touched inappropriately. And all the milk products were taken away from them. And the cowherd ladies cried and cried and cried. And then one of them noticed that this new arrival, this new person who had joined the cowherd community, did not cry. So they all went to the lady, the queen, and they said, "You seem to be not disturbed, not agitated. Now everything has been taken away by dacoits, and some of us have been touched in a not in a good way, I mean in an inappropriate way, but you are so equipoised." When the lady, the aristocratic lady, was asked why she remained equipoised, listen to her answer. She said, "I have seen so many calamities in my life that in comparison to what I have experienced, this is nishta. This is nothing." So there is an explanation to this, somewhat, let us say, wild story. Just like the queen had left her husband and gone away with a very unqualified man, each one of us has left Bhagavan, Krishna, who is in this analogy the king. And we have run away with Maya. Now we have run, when we ran away, we became like vagabonds. Do you know what is a vagabond? Someone who roams. What is a vagabond? A bitanga. We have become bitangas. And we have run around in this world as bitangas, and we have encountered various miseries. But really, all these miseries, including the tooth pain, cannot be compared to the original source of all our miseries. That is, leaving Krishna, our loss of Krishna. Therefore, the devotee says, "Well, to suffer in this world is naturalni, it is unavoidable." And he turns to Krishna and patiently says, "My dear Lord, ever since I left you, my life has become so complicated and so entangling, and I'm sometimes suffering and sometimes I'm happy, but actually this is only the ups and downs of material life. Please accept me and take me back to the safe shelter of your lotus feet, my Lord. No? So a devotee who is like this, who patiently suffers like this poor lady, aristocratic lady who was cheated so many times, no? Who patiently suffers and is not agitated. Krishna is, and who prays at the same time, my dear Krishna, please accept me. No? This is the main problem I need to solve, no? That Krishna is so satisfied. Vallabhacharya says, even a weak sadhaka should try this. Not all of us are very strong sadhakas, especially in Serbia. It is not so often that we find devotees now who get up so early, chant all their rounds in one sitting, and so on. So we may be weak. However, even if it is not possible for a weak sadhaka to control the senses, one should finally surrender to Lord Hari and consider him one's exclusive shelter. And those who have surrendered to Bhagavan should never worry about a thing. My dear devotees, this is a very simple formula. When the troubles of life come to you, which are a result of leaving Krishna, no? Then just say, my dear Lord Krishna, I only want you. I want to take shelter at your lotus feet. Please excuse me, my senses are also there. I'm not always 100% good, no? One should not beat himself up and so on, but should patiently use one's body, one's mind, and one's words, and in this way be satisfied. The Bhagavatam speaks about the satisfaction of a sadhaka in very nice words. Yasya yataiva vihitam satena sukadukkayo atmanam toshayandehi tamasa paramrityati. One should try to keep himself satisfied in any condition of life, yes, whether distress or happiness, which is offered by the Supreme Will. A person who endures in this way is able to cross over the darkness of nations very easily. Would you like to know where you can find this amazing verse?
Yes. Yes.
Will you make a note of it?
Yes.
Good. 4.8.33. Prabhupada writes a beautiful purport there. He says, instead of being attached to the circumstantial happiness and distress resulting from our pious or impious activities in the past, if we want to get out of the clutches of nations, then whatever position we are put in by the will of the Lord, we should accept this. Yes. This touches on a subject which we have discussed yesterday in a smaller circle of devotees. You remember I met one devotee in the Serbian summer camp who had told me that he has observed that many devotees feel just so guilty because they are not able to follow all the many rules which are there and all the recommendations, and they seem to beat themselves up and then in the process lose the rest of Krishna consciousness. Today I have talked to one other devotee, very nice young child. She was a young child and was always amongst the children the most blissful child. And she's now 19 and is in a ballet school. And she came to me and said, and I asked her, so how is it for you to visit the Fruska Goranga camp after all these years? And she said, of course I believe in Krishna, and it is very, very nice to see it, but at the same time I feel so guilty. And others look at me and they asked, how many rounds are you chanting? And I feel so guilty, I could run away. And as she was speaking, she was tormented. She cried, and she was then doubly tormented because she thought now I would feel uncomfortable. But I said, no problem, we have tempo, you know, to wipe your eyes, don't worry, just maybe it's time for you to cry now. And after some time, she again, a brilliant, a very intelligent person, said, so what do you say? Is this the result of doing bhakti? Is this the reward? Is this feeling so ashamed? And I quoted to her these verses. I said, these things come, our life comes over us, our ups and downs come over us. But the main thing here is that we keep worshipping Krishna. And I would like to give you a recommendation which I heard from a very nice young sannyasi whom we tried to invite for the summer camp. Also, we have other sannyasi was also there, very wonderful. Keshava Maharaj. He said, why should you always think about what you cannot do or what is still ahead of you, what you have not obtained? Why not think about what you have, what was given to you in this life? Why should I think about the money which I don't have and be distressed? Why not see in my pocket there is something? I can buy a buttermilk from this, you know. Why not like this? Why always be in this lack consciousness? And I have a surprise for you. It is said in Krishna's heart there is no place for the mistakes of his devotees. He sees what you do. He doesn't see what you don't do. Like a parent. I think when a parent sees that their child begins to speak in a little imperfect way, you know, I hear Serbian language is very difficult with the grammar. So when the child speaks, you know, the parent will encourage and say, bravo, bravo, even if the pronunciation is not right, even if the sentence is not completed, and even though the child speaks not, and sometimes he speaks about this, then the next moment he speaks about that, and you cannot see any connection between the two, you say, bravo, you know, very good, because you see my child is speaking. In the same way Krishna sees, my devotee is trying. He is still a little clouded over what to do, but let us see what is good there. Yes. And if you can, it's saying one should practice bhakti without this distress, you know, with a mind that is free from dejection, and go on. Prabhupada once said, the first sign of a devotee is he will be happy, Brahma Bhuta. If a Vaishnava is still in unhappiness, that means he has no spiritual life at all. He's simply making a show. Yeah, Prabhupada. Strong. And if you are in devotional service, you know, the process itself is a very happy one. I saw this yesterday. This is my aha moment. There was one devotee who was just so happy to dance and kirtan. He's a new man. He was playing his trumpet and jumping while playing the trumpet. I was just praying, let him not fall, because then he will lose all his front teeth. So on. And I thought, yeah, this is how I was also. Now this devotee is a young person. Who knows what he does when he leaves? I don't want to go there. He is a human being with all the things which a human being has. But he can focus on the process of devotional service. I was dancing and trumpeting in the kirtan. And the devotees liked it. Krishna liked it. My life is a success. So we were hearing one should be perseverant and not be, what was it, agitated, even when there is cause of agitation. Now I want to ask you a question. What do you think? Is a liberated soul sometimes disturbed, yes or no?
Yes.
Why? Or how? How? You know the philosophy. We don't speak about this type of disturbance. We feel disturbed. We speak about being personally disturbed about something that went wrong. Yes, Anuradha, I want to say, you're very right. He, Prabhupada was once going, was in a program, and the car took him back to the temple, and he had to go over King's Cross in Sydney. That's where the nightlife of Sydney is. And the driver saw how Prabhupada was looking out of the window into the nightlife of Sydney. Then he also noticed that Prabhupada was crying. And he wanted to ask Prabhupada, but it felt this was an intimate moment and he should not ask. So the next morning he asked, or someone else asked, Prabhupada, you were crying when you were driving or being driven over Sydney, King's Cross. Prabhupada very shyly said, yes, they are wasting their human form of life. That gave him distress, but I want you to think of another type of distress. There is a very interesting part in the fifth canto of the Bhagavatam. It is when Yadabharat is insulted by King Rahugana. Do you remember the circumstances?
Yes.
He was called to stand in for one of the pelican carriers, yes, and he was jumping to avoid the ants on the way, and then Rahugana was shaken in his palanquin, and he said, stop, you fool! Can't you carry your king properly? And then he made all kinds of sarcastic remarks, just insulting, basically. Bharat Maharaj. So in the text it says, Sukadev Goswami says, "My dear King Parikshit, O son of Mother Uttara, there were some waves of dissatisfaction in the mind of Yara Bharat due to his being insulted by King Rahugana, who made him carry his palanquin. But Yara Bharat neglected this, and his heart again became calm and quiet like an ocean." This is a very nice example. This is an excuse for me to drink something, so I if I have a glass of water like this, and I throw something as small as the tip of this into it, it will agitate the whole water in the glass. But if I take even a bigger stone and throw it into a big pond of water, like an ocean or lake, you won't even notice it. So yes, in a small mind, every little disturbance creates waves of dissatisfaction. But in an oceanic mind or a big mind, even some bigger kind of disturbance is not creating any waves. My dear devotees, this hints at something which Prabhupada wrote in his first written piece. It's called Message of Godhead. He wrote this while being in India. He said, "As long as we have a body and a mind, we will be disturbed. Also when we are a devotee, our body and the mind reacts to happiness and distress. However, a devotee will not become overwhelmed by it." And this points by the happiness and distress. And this points out of this, points to this inner quality. He has dharyan. He is patient. And he patiently perseveres. He is not disturbed when there is cause for disturbance. Because he has something so big he is enthusiastic about. Like the queen. You know, she finally, after going through this terrible journey of life, she understood, well, let me just live a good life, a decent life with good conduct. I sell buttermilk. And even when the robbers came, she was not disturbed. She thought, I have seen so much, and now my life is that there was the queen's life. I'm dedicating my life to Krishna now. This is my journey of life. Here it ends. Here I am resting my wild life, my insignificant little life. Hare Krishna. Sto mislite? What do you think? I'm asking you.
We must take responsibility.
Mm-hmm. Anything else? Anyone else thinks? Manya, what do you think?
We should not be so disturbed by things.
Yes. Very, very enlightened response, yes.
Mm-hmm. Go on with everything.
We should go on. Why should we go on? Because
Because when you go on with Krishna, in Krishna consciousness, you will impress Krishna by this very quality to be painstaken, is an English word. Prabhupada uses this English word. He says Krishna sometimes wants to see how much his devotee takes pain, no? How much he accepts this in his service. It is endearing the Lord. But the good weather devotee, who's only there in good weather, not when there is difficulty, he is more interested in the good circumstances than he is interested in Krishna's service. Of course, Krishna will understand when things are too much sometimes. But when things are too much, then just make a little pause, you know, go to the side and chant Hare Krishna and wait until the mud will settle, and then you can see more clearly.
When there is clear intention, very deeply set in the heart, it overcomes the mind.
Yeah.
It's different.
When you have a clear intention, says Anuradha, in the heart, it overcomes the mind. She knows what she is talking about because she is in Vrindavan learning the art of dance, and sometimes it is 40 degrees heat, 45 perhaps. It is, and she doesn't believe in AC and just goes on, no? You may melt a little, but yes, just go on. And then after some time, the mind says, oh, not a problem. There is a research by the Berlin University which says in other times and other civilizations, people had a total different, they dealt totally differently with pain. Just imagine the Middle Ages, there were no dentists. I really don't want to live in the Middle Ages for this. Imagine you have a dental problem that you can't go to anyone. All these people know is they grab the tooth and break it out of your mouth. It's so painful. That's the only treatment which was known in the Middle Ages. But people didn't mind. They had this a different cultural approach to pain. But we are living in this materialistic civilization where the civilization is dedicated to throw atom bombs on every little mosquito who creates some problem. It's pain is often here in the mind. There's scientific research, I will say something now for Grihasthas. When the mind of the Grihastha is overwhelmed with romantic feeling towards his wife, it happens, vice versa, and he feels this is not the proper time, this is not the proper time. If you wait a little, the desire which came for a moment like this and peaked, became high, it will go down again. This is with all desires. If you think now, oh, I must get a new mobile phone, you know, this is very, very important. Or I must get some new cloth now, you know, and without this new cloth, I'm simply boring, you know, or wait for some time and you will see that the desire has a little life like this. It will peak, and then it will go down. For instance, at the moment, I have a strong desire to eat pizza in the night.
It's becoming ever stronger by the minute, you know. But I have decided to not do anything against it because I had pizza yesterday night. And if I have now again pizza, my life is ruined. So, and I know it will become a little stronger, the desire, and then it will go down, and I don't even think of pizza any longer. No, the children know this also. Desire is so strong at times, no? And then you just wait a little, and after some time it goes down and it's gone. Finished. Yeah. Good. So, yes, there were other... Josh, I'm afraid that you will give a lecture now. Or is it a question? This is now time for question.
No, I was thinking about the suffering.
Yeah. you were thinking about suffering.
Not this, whatever.
Yes, yes, yes. I'm not sure. You want to say something, Ojashvi?
Yeah. According to this, like Anuradha said also.
Yeah, it goes, yes, it goes up and down. Yes, yes. Toi-to. That's how it is. Anyone? Dionysus? Yes?
Disturbance, or if I tolerate it, it's helped me to decide what is right path.
Yeah, wonderful, wonderful. Yeah, where does my life go when I follow the disturbance? Mm-hmm. And where does it go if I am with Krishna? Mm-hmm. Any questions? Are there any questions which you might like to ask? I'm surprised that no one of you objects. What is about this objection? Oh, Sachinanda Maharaj, you are repeating the mistake of all the religions. They tell to their followers they should just accept circumstances. And in this way, the world will never change to the better.
Maybe doesn't God give us just the right amount of trouble that we can comprehend? As an example, maybe Narada Muni's mother, when the snake bite her, I suppose Krishna wouldn't bite my mother, because if my mother were bitten, I would probably be depressed for a long time. Yeah. Maybe the trouble is given to the according to the how much
we can take and
answer.
Yes, yes. That is often said. That is true. That is, Krishna gives. What is it called? Pedagogic amounts of pain. You know, the teacher knows how to bring the child. What is with this objection? Shouldn't we change the wrong thing? My dear devotees, here comes the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, and here you will see how reality has multi layers. You can't explain reality only with one perspective. You have to look from different perspectives. There are things where our conscience says, this is not right, and it is not correct to ignore the voice of the conscience and be numb to it.
there are things which are within our circle of influence, which we can change and which we are obliged to change. There are personal things in our lives, and there are also things that go wrong in our environment, where maybe there is a misbehavior and it should be addressed and corrected. That is always there. But here the scripture speaks about something else. It does not here address the point of correcting mistakes. It talks about the things which will help your bhakti to grow. And one of the things is, one of the items is to be unagitated when there is disturbance in the material world, and to continue with your bhakti, knowing that it is so absolutely important, that it is the greatest treasure, it's the purpose of your human form of life. When there are other things, when there are things that need to be changed and addressed, that is, and that can be changed and addressed, then that is also necessary. No, it's multi-leveled. Therefore, my dear devotees, I really, really want to encourage you. If you wish to understand Krishna consciousness, you will need to read regularly in the Bhagavatam and other books, because it takes years to really understand all the different levels address each level properly. Otherwise, you will be, let us say, not inspired in your spiritual life. I want to, this is my last lecture to you, I want to really request all of you, since we are going now, and the next summer camp, I heard Madhva Muni was saying that he intends to organize one summer camp the next year. I really admire Madhva Muni and his good wife, and the children are also tolerating the parents' full involvement in all of this. If this family would not be there and take the initiative, we would not have met. So yes, it will go on, but it's 1 year from now, and we need to really leave the summer camp with a concrete plan how we will maintain our bhakti, and not just maintain, how we will make it stronger. No? It is important. And if you don't yet have such a plan, you might think a little bit or discuss with other devotees to think about this plan. I was discussing with Gaur Krishna, and I must admit I'm a little happy that summer camp means summer surrender for me, so it is lots of things to do, but I'm not just happy that it's over, I feel deeply in my heart, oh, how will these devotees without a temple and without so much sangha, how will they go on after this? What will they do? Maya is also there, no? How will they escape Maya? And I was thinking, yes. You know, you can see when some of you came to the summer camp, you had clouded vision. Even during the summer camp, I watched devotees always. There's some cloud is also there, because they suffer. That is not easy to to be there. So please try to make something out of the lectures. You have certainly heard enough to keep you going a whole year. There's so many lectures, sometimes 1, 2, 3, 4 lectures minimum a day, sometimes 5 whole. That's really a lot. There should be some things. What I always do is I make notes, and I go through the notes, and then after each, and then I try to see what is now possible for me to do. Good. I want to now end. The subject is remembering Krishna. And I will tell you one Krishna Katha, and then we will do one last kirtan. Is this a good program?
Yes.
Good. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare. Is it maybe too low? Shall we go higher? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Yeah. there was an appointment between Radha and Krishna in the nocturnal forest of Sri Vrindavan Dham. Srimati Radharani came first, and she saw in the distance a blackish tamal tree who grew on a gold inside a golden platform. This tamal tree was swinging in the soft breeze, and it was shining because the best of moons were shining on the leaves, and the leaves were reflecting the light. She was reminded of Krishna, and she happily thought that her lover had come. O shyness, you are my greatest enemy at this moment. Leave me. Or if you have to be with me, come to the corner of my eyes, but leave my body. I need to run and embrace Ghanishyam Krishna. Thinking like this, she ran and embraced the tamal tree. Like a tamal tree and then a golden platform. She thought that's a dhoti of Krishna. But the tamal tree didn't embrace her back. And she noticed, this is not my lover. This is a tree, and he has come late. I will show him. She decided to play a trick on Krishna, and with the help of her girlfriends, she went into one kunja. Now, kunjas, my dear devotees, are tree houses, if you so wish. But it's not like the tree houses of this world. Together with the vines, these kunjas have different, they are like apartments. There are sometimes a room for meeting, then there's an outer room to view the beautiful forest of Vrindavan. The kunjas have roofs, not roofs also here, but walls, I wanted to say. And in the walls there are windows, two on each side, so eight windows altogether. But then there are interior parts of the Nikunja, which are so private that no one can look into them, except by moving the vines a little. So Radharani decided to play a trick on Krishna, and with the help of her girlfriends, she hid herself between the golden statues that were there in this kunja. These were golden statues, you know, they were holding the hands like this, and there was a flame in this, you know, the gilams. And Radharani, whose complexion is, what is the complexion?
Gold,
yes. She hid herself amongst these golden statues. I heard there were 12 golden statues, but I'm not sure, maybe more, maybe less. I only heard from one source. So after some time, Krishna, looking for Radharani, came there, and he saw golden ladies holding the hands like this. And he felt perhaps one of them is Radha, but I can't tell one from the other. And Radha was standing like this. So when Krishna saw these golden statues, he was ornamented with ecstasy on his mood. His mind and his eyes became restless because he could not recognize who's Radha. And he didn't know if Radha was at all there. So he asked Radha's girlfriend, "Where's your friend?" "At home." "Krishna, when did you come? Why then did you come here without her? You are always with her. I know she must be somewhere here." The gopis: "To pick flowers for worshipping the sun god. That's why we came." Krishna: "Then tell me, why do I smell her fragrance here?" This is the problem which Krishna has in his Leela. He can hide, but he can't hide his fragrance, which moves everywhere. Radha can hide amongst the golden statues, but the fragrance is there. So the clever gopis say, "You don't smell the fragrance of Radha because Radha is there, here. You smell the fragrance of Radha because we associate so much with Radha that her fragrance gets stuck on our bodies even when we leave her." Krishna, "Come on, you are lying." The gopis: "Maybe." A very sweet, rasa-filled talks. Then Krishna said, "You would never come to the forest without Radhika. Just like the moon rays never appear in the sky without the moon. Where there are moon rays, there must be the moon. So where you are, there must be Radha." And again the Sakhi says, "Maybe." So they were joking like this, and then Vrinda Devi made like this to Krishna. I can't do it like this. But Krishna knew he had to go there to find Radha. So she went there in this place, and there Lord Hari saw that the whole place was illuminated by Radha's golden splendor, which was reflecting on the golden statues. When this golden splendor mixed with Krishna's luster, the whole place was pervaded by an emerald green effulgence. He could not see anything but this green effulgence. Krishna, blue, Radha, like golden, and together greenish, no? Emerald, yeah. She, Radha, became almost stunned of joy and fear, and that's why Krishna could not recognize her, because she was so ecstatic and stunned, she didn't move. So, in this way, the Krishna came and Radha wanted to meet Krishna, but she was prevented by her friend unwillingness, the personified mood of unwillingness, and it pulled her backwards. And in this way she only could see Krishna but not touch her. Until finally the gopis placed Krishna's hands in her hands. And then when Radhika touched Govinda, she shivered and shed tears from her wide, restless eyes, and she perspired in ecstasy. And in this way, the divine couple always find themselves, although sometimes Radha thinks a tamal tree is Krishna, and Krishna cannot see Radha because of all the golden statues. But the forests of Vrindavan are wish-fulfilling desire trees, and they always, always, always will bring the divine couple together. My dear devotees, when you visit Vrindavan, you must know that there are four kinds of desire trees. One is called the Aparijata desire tree. These are trees that remove your enemies. When you are under these trees and pray, Krishna, save me, then you will be free from enemies. Another are the Mandara desire trees. They destroy your poverty. Then there are the Samada Tanaka desire trees. These desire trees bestow bliss to you. And then there is the Hari Chandan type of desire trees. What do they do? They destroy all the obstacles in your life. Therefore, I encourage you to visit the Govardhan retreat. We have a place in the Vrindavan forest, which was given to us by the forest department to take care of. And there are many desire trees which are there. And when you just sit under these desire trees early in the morning, before the seminars start, and you pray to Krishna, you will find great support and strength in your spiritual life. And impossible will become possible. That is my little talk on Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami says, I forgot the exact quotation, so I can't say it now. Good. So this is a little bit the end of our seminar. Oh no, I will miss you very much. It was so nice to see all of you. Really so nice. Because the devotees in this in these areas, they have a special quality to them. But one thing is sure, when they put their heart into it, they can go very far. So I wish you all the best. May Krishna protect you. May Lord Narsingadev protect you. May you find that spark of enthusiasm in your heart, and when you feel it goes, becomes smaller, the spark of enthusiasm, look for those who can fan your sparks. No? Have association with those who can make the spark grow bigger. Try to not, we have to be in association with all kinds of people, but seek those who can fan your spark in that time. And talk with them about, you know, read maybe a spiritual text, talk with them, have a pizza, talk your mind and emotions to them. Has to be, we are in the Balkan. But have Krishna also in there. Good. Srila Prabhupada ki, Sisi Goni Tai ki, Gaur Premanandi, Hari Hari Bo. Jai Jai Se.
Krishna.
Thank you.